America First Committee, whose slogan, Defend America First, symbolizes your national safety, is a nonpartisan organization which supports and urges the election of candidates for public office, either Democratic or Republican, who are prepared to advocate the policies and principles of the America First Committee, as publicly set forth and as further detailed in this presentation. The America First Committee dedicates itself to you and to those dear to you for your first and everlasting interest in a safe and sound defense for America.
Mountainside, let freedom ring.
America, standing as it does in the shadow of Europe's war clouds, must think first of her own defense. The America First Committee urges your support. Write your congressman or your senator. Tell your representatives you want no intervention in the European war or in the Asiatic threat of war. Tell your representatives that you stand for an impregnable defense. And now, the America First Committee is happy to present a man whose background especially well qualifies him to discuss the present international situation. Mr. William R. Castle, former Undersecretary of State and Ambassador to the Naval Conference. Mr. William R. Castle.
People in Washington began to ask the question, are we going to get into the war through the back door, or in other words, through Asia? Relations between Japan and the United States were becoming steadily more strained. Why was this? The answer is simple. We're naturally a kind-hearted nation. We're for the underdog. Japan had no business in China. Japanese soldiers in China were destroying American property, especially American mission property in which thousands of Americans were interested. There were many incidents, of which by far the most serious was the outrageous destruction of the Panay. But for this, Japan apologized immediately, paid liberally and fully. If we'd confined our protests to those matters which we had a right to protest, Japan would have understood. But there was poor diplomacy on both sides, and therefore the situation grew worse and worse. There have been vague attempts to justify American action. The Undersecretary of State, in answering a question asked him after a recent address in Cleveland, said over a period of years, this government has been trying to reestablish with the government of Japan those friendly relations that were maintained for decades. I wish somebody in the audience had asked for specific instances. The record seems to show just the opposite. That angry remark of the president in Chicago, that we must quarantine aggressor nations, was aimed directly at Japan and was so understood by Japan. We denounced our trade treaty. This was justified because we needed a more up-to-date treaty. But it was so timed that people in America and in Japan believed the real reason was to punish Japan for what was happening in China. Certainly, we were not trying to re-establish friendly relations when we refused to begin negotiations for a new treaty. The very process of negotiation would have given daily opportunities quietly to smooth out points of disagreement, to emphasize points of agreement, and really to seek to re-establish the friendly relations we'd had for so many decades. A little later, we came out with a sudden warning to Japan not to touch the Dutch East Indies. I wonder what the reaction would have been in the United States if Japan had issued a warning to us not to touch Greenland after Denmark was invaded by Germany. We have large trade interests in the Dutch East Indies, just as Japan has, and it's to the interest of both of us that access to the raw materials of the island should be unrestricted. Beyond this, we have no right to interfere, and it would be better to build up other sources of supply than to waste money on armament to protect the Indies. In French Indochina, we have no interest. Yet we took occasion bitterly to assail Japan for its actions there. When there was a discussion of closing the Burma Road to prevent arms from reaching the Chungking government, a question solely between Japan and Great Britain, we announced that the road ought to be kept open. And only now we hear that the Department of State and the Foreign Office have worked closely together on the question of reopening the road. What business is it of ours? Rightly or wrongly, The Japanese consider Mr. Stimson their number one enemy in the United States, and there was consternation when he was appointed Secretary of War. In other words, instead of trying to re-establish the old friendly relations with Japan, we seem to have adopted a policy of frequent pinpricking. Instead of trying to build up friendship, we've apparently tried to rouse Japanese enmity. This is past history now, and the only reason for bringing it up is to wake people to the necessity of enforcing a different course on our officials. Our antagonism was not solely responsible for driving Japan into the arms of Germany, but it certainly helped in that it strengthened the military elements which already leaned toward Germany. In our morning papers one day, we Americans read with dismay of the definite alliance. But this was only the signing of an agreement which had been in the making for a long time. Able diplomacy might have prevented it, because the best elements in Japan want friendship with America more than they want anything else. Unfortunately, our attitude weakened these elements, just as it strengthened the military. But because the agreement was signed and because it was aimed at the United States, there's no reason whatever to think we shall have to go to war. That fear is just a part of the cooked-up hysteria which always threatens to involve us. The new alliance only means we must revise our methods. If Prince Konoye, in a newspaper interview, says provocative things, even says Japan will fight if we don't recognize Japanese interests and purpose in the Far East, there's no need for our Secretary of the Navy to answer in a speech that we too will fight if necessary. We are strong enough to shrug our shoulders even when insulting things are said about us. We are morally strong enough to avoid unnecessary war now, just as we shall soon be in a military position to hurl back any attempts to injure us in a physical sense. And the attempts of the warmongers to frighten us with a Japanese bogey are ludicrous if we only stop to think. Ask any naval expert whether an invasion by Japan is possible, and he'll laugh you out of court. In the last World War, our transport of troops to Europe was considered a great achievement. And yet we took them over with friendly convoys and landed them on friendly soil. If Japan wanted to invade the United States, she'd have to fight her way across an ocean twice as wide as the Atlantic, would have to get rid of the American fleet and then suffer attacks from the air for the last part of the journey. She'd have to have a navy several times as large as she now has, and more transports and cargo vessels than there are in the whole Pacific. And when the armada arrived, it would have to land on a shore protected by guns and an army ready to pick off the various companies as they landed. And of course the reverse is true if you talk of an American invasion of Japan. Even if we doubled our fleet or tripled it, the best we could do would be to wage a war of attrition, long, costly, and utterly useless. With the signing of the Axis Agreement, we are certain to be attacked on both sides if we should become involved. This is no reason why we should want to get in. Nations don't go to war. They don't waste wealth and human life without excellent reason. And now, today, what possible good to us could come out of a war with Japan? It's true that after losing the Philippines, as we should at the beginning, we might get them back again. But there are many wise people who wish we'd never had them, as they're a military liability. In any case, we've promised them independence within a few years. We might eventually destroy Tokyo. But what would be the use of that, except for revenge? We might temporarily deflect the course of history and restore some sort of independence to China. Unless Russia and Japan had established their spheres of influence behind the smokescreen. If we were at war, Great Britain would be also under the Axis Pact. And the Japanese could liquidate British holdings in the Orient long before we got there. Thus, if we drifted into war with Japan, we should be playing the German game. We should have to keep our fleet indefinitely in the Pacific. We should be compelled to keep for ourselves the airplanes and the guns that are now flowing to England. Can you imagine anything more disastrous for Great Britain than such a situation? I'm tired of being told what Hitler's thinking. because nobody knows. But I do not believe he's losing any sleep over the dread that we may get into the war. Nothing could please the German high command more than to have our fleet more or less permanently in the Pacific and our manufacturers ordered to sell no more supplies to Great Britain. War with Japan is not inevitable. It's not even likely if we keep our heads and change our policy from one of provocation to one of neutrality. It's not likely if we're big enough to ignore provocation. It's not likely if we refrain from taking part in the war before we've been attacked. There are people who talk about basing our fleet immediately on Singapore. This would be war, since Britain is at war. It wouldn't help the British Empire, because it would mean risking everything to save a piece of jade when the crown jewels are in peril. If Britain wins this war, Singapore will be returned, whatever's happened to it. If Britain loses the war, Singapore's gone in any case. Why, then, involve the United States? There's been too much loose thinking, too much sudden action for the sake of a temporary and unimportant advantage, too much drowning of intelligence and emotion, too much playing along the edges of war. This has made the situation so serious that all Americans willing and able to look facts in the face must try to think things through objectively. We must everywhere publicly express our determination to keep out of this war. We must make it clear that the determination is based first of all on the good of the United States and its people, the only sound basis for action. Secondarily, because we realize that our participation would be the worst thing that could happen to our friends. Remember that in Japan, as well as in the United States, there are millions who know that war would be a senseless tragedy. They realize dimly the possibilities of cooperation. Japan will not give up its dream of Asia for the Asiatic. But that dream does not exclude the West, because there's much that the East needs from the West. We Americans open Japan to the world. We've taught much that is good and much that's bad. But we must never destroy all influence we may hope to have by going to war. I've often said that Europe will need us more after the war than ever before. We'll rely on our sanity and our skill to prevent starvation and disease. Perhaps Japan may never be drawn into the vortex. If it is, we should more than ever keep out, because then the whole world will need us. And we, too, will need the men we otherwise should have lost.
Thank you, William R. Castle, for your most interesting discussion. You have, I am sure, brought all of us a better understanding of the present situation. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of your home, in the interest of our peaceful America, write your congressman, your senator today. Tell them you are against any intervention in any war, European or Asiatic, or any foreign entanglement. Tell your representatives you want an impregnable defense for America, and you want it now. The America First Committee is working tirelessly in your behalf, working to preserve your peace, your home, all things dear to you. Won't you help us? Your contributions, dimes, or dollars are needed. Write the America First Committee today, Board of Trade Building, Chicago, Illinois. Remember, dimes or dollars, all are needed. I repeat the address, America First Committee, Board of Trade Building, Chicago, Illinois.
My country.